Beloved listeners, this is your host, Ken Lesser, bringing you another hour of advanced living fun. I'm so happy to be with you this beautiful Saturday. You know, my intention and prayer and fervent determination is to bring quality and value to your lives. I pray daily, Heavenly Father, show me the best ways to have the most fun inspiring the largest number of people to experience vibrantly, exquisitely healthy, wealthy living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives. Why? So we get to enjoy a global loving community. Well, today we are in for a treat. There are so many ways to make our lives better, and you know it's important how to take more control of your life and to literally be the captain of your own ship, as well as to be a better leader among the people that you work with, not only work with in your home, work with in your office, your community, wherever you are, being stronger within yourself and able to communicate better and lead better. Isn't that a gift that is going to make life better for you and everyone around you? Well, guess what? What a treat. We have an expert in the field of teaching people great leadership skills. Our dear friend Monica Wolford, she brings more than 17 years experience as a speaker trainer to her company, Monica Wolford International, where she serves as the company's president. And she's a sought-after trainer. Monica leverages scientific research and data to design curricula, programs, and presentations that positively impact both behavior and performance. Yes, so you feel better and do more. Her proven strategies and timely techniques and wise insights transform managers, people in work settings, in home settings, people running their lives in different ways, transforms those folks into leaders and helps in business settings where service people are transformed into service providers, where people who are shy about speaking out, they become powerful presenters at being able to get their point across. And in addition to training, Wolford provides keynote addresses, motivational speeches, and enlightening seminars. Now, back in 2003, she founded Presenters Plus, where she filled the role of president there also, and she designed and delivered curricula to Fortune 1000 companies with audiences ranging from 10 to 800 learners. In 2006, she transformed Presenters Plus into Monica Wolford International, which provides comprehensive corporate training that enhances the careers and lives of employees while creating measurable return on investment for companies. So what a bonus, helping everyone win big time. Now, she launched her career as a part-time public speaker in 1989, and during 12 years in the retail industry and 6 years in the wireless industry, she managed, coached, and led salespeople, trainers, and other managers. So she's got plenty of experience and is devoted to getting the best coaching herself so that she continues to refine her skills. And during the years, she's worked with big companies, including Singular Wireless, Bell South Mobility, Casual Corners, and Foley's. So she has written, Monica has penned several books and has training products, including, get ready for this, I love this title, Contagious Leadership. Not just leadership, but it spreads. Contagious leadership, contagious confidence, contagious customer service, which applies really to all aspects of our life of being interpersonal and caring with each other. And she also serves as adjunct instructor for the University of Phoenix, and she earned a bachelor degree in speech communication from the University of Texas at Austin and has a master's degree in business administration from Les Tourneaux, University, also in Texas, and she holds several certificates in training. So this is a well-qualified presenter. Get ready for a big treat, folks. Welcome, Monica.
Good evening.
To Advanced Living.
Thank you, Ken. I am excited about it. In fact, I want to meet that woman you're talking about. My goodness.
Oh, I'll tell you. Well, just to go into the bathroom, close your eyes, stand in front of the mirror, and then open your eyes and say, hello, my beloved Monica.
There you go. We're actually going to talk a little bit about what other people do when they walk in that bathroom, look at that mirror, and what they say to themselves.
Ah, oh, good. So we'll get, I had a feeling you were going to address some of that. Now, I'm curious because I looked through your book, and there's some wonderful principles that not just apply to business, which, of course, is where your mainstay is, but to all of living. And I love the title. So what about leadership, especially as you bring it to us, that makes it contagious?
What a great question. And it's in fact, Ken, something that many don't realize, in that being a leader, whether it's in business or home or in the community, is something everyone around that leader in a follower capacity catches on to. Everything that leader does, says, even thinks, their behavior, their actions, their directions, is something other people catch on to. And if that leader's directions or mood or tone of voice is not in a, let's just say, a way they would like to be emulated, then that leader creates for him or herself a series of potential damage control or a series of morale issues or even, unfortunately, employee turnover or relationship turnover, if we use the same terms in other areas of our lives.
Yes, well, I like pastries and turnovers, but in relationships and in companies, it's not the same.
If we asked any individual what their attrition rate was in relationships, unfortunately, that number might be a bit high in many areas of our culture.
Oh, yes. Definitely. So we want to work on that, and it sounds like you've got some important keys. We were talking briefly about that language in the mirror to introduce you to yourself, and then you said that there'd be more. So, I mean, sometimes we're talking out loud, but a lot of times we're just talking to ourselves. And I'm wondering that internal dialogue that we have, how do we get to a place where we're actually becoming a better leader of ourselves by leading the voices in our heads?
Well, we first have to start with the key question, Len. Do you talk to yourself?
Well, I have to make appointments, but...
You would be amazed how many times I might ask that question in a customized training or even a keynote presentation, and my keynotes tend to be a bit interactive, but I will ask an audience of people, how many of you talk to yourself? And I will have a variety of hands raised across the room. And then my immediate statement after that, if everyone's not raised their hand, is in fact okay. For those of you who have not raised your hand to agree that you do talk to yourself, please take note that you're probably now scratching your head saying to yourself, I don't know, do I talk to myself? And it typically creates the awareness, you know. We do talk to ourselves. It's those voices in your head that can get us into trouble, because it's not the fact that we do talk to ourselves that's detrimental. It's what we say. And as a leader, if you wake up first thing in the morning, you look in the mirror and you say, oh, I don't like this look. Oh, I don't like this hair. Oh, I don't like my job. I don't like what I do. Screaming children in the house, whatever those thoughts may be that are going through your mind. By the time you get to the office, if you're in a leadership capacity at work, your mindset is such that your actions and behaviors will not be uplifting, inspiring. They will not, certainly, as you even mentioned, serve to vibrantly and exquisitely enrich the lives of those they have the privilege of leading, and that is all due to the voices in one's head. So part of what we provide in a leadership capacity is developing an awareness around what the voices in your head say. Are they positive? Are they not so positive? Are they helpful? Are they not helpful? Are you carrying around inaccurate pictures of yourself or accurate ones? And that is subject to a personal interpretation. However, so many wander the earth in complete and utter unawareness of what those voices say, and then with no hope of actually managing them in an appropriate fashion. Both of those things lead to one's self-esteem, they lead to one's confidence, and they start to impact one's behavior in big, big ways. It serves little purpose to teach one how to give directions better if you've not addressed where the directions actually originate first.
Ah. Wow, so we're really going back to the foundation of self-management.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned two key terms, self-esteem and confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I think of them similar, but would you explain, because there's probably a difference between self-esteem and confidence.
Absolutely, and it's a lesser-known difference in our environment in which there are self-esteem, self-help, confidence-building sorts of books and materials and CDs and learning tools out there. Very often those two terms become synonymous. And the reality is that confidence is the belief that you can do something. You can take on that promotion. You can be a working mother or work and be a mother at the same time, or a parent. You can do a project you've been wanting to achieve. You can go back to school. That's confidence. Self-esteem is the belief that you're worth it. I am worth the sacrifice it would take to go back to school. I am worth the sacrifice it would take to go to that informative seminar. I am worth the effort and the communication it will take to stay partners with my spouse so we can raise this child together. Self-esteem is the belief you are worth it. And confidence is the belief that you can do something.
Okay. Well, that's an important distinction, and both very important, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in your work, can you help folks to gain a greater sense of confidence?
Indeed. As long as there is a desire. If there is no desire to do so, it makes our job quite a bit more difficult. Obviously, Ken, this isn't something you can force feed someone. Be more confident or else. It doesn't work that way. What we do provide is that level of awareness through scientific data, tools, a profile assessment, and then our training is designed around the data coming from those tools so that we can show people in a way that is easy for them to digest, here are the areas that may be impacting your confidence. Here are the areas that may be taking away from what you see as your gifts, skills, talents, and abilities. And that awareness often gives people the motivation to then say, oh, okay, I do have those skills, or oh, I do have those abilities, or oh, I didn't realize it was that easy to simply take back control over my own life. And sometimes it is easy, sometimes it requires quite a bit more courage. But we do have the ability to help someone gain a greater sense of confidence and be motivated to do so, as long as there is that desire within themselves.
Ah, well, it's important that my listeners have an opportunity to get, of course, more information about you. Okay, to give out your website?
Yes, indeed. Please do.
Okay. Folks, to invite you to have a treat and go to visit www.monicawofford.com, MonicaWofford.com, in which you'll get a chance to, I hate to say it, you have to look at this beautiful, happy face. You'll get over it. And then take a look at different things that are offered there, training programs, different consulting methods. As a matter of fact, I was kind of interested because you were making mention of some assessments that you do that help people to gain more awareness of areas where they can get supported to boost confidence, I'm guessing. Is that right?
Yes, indeed. And on the website, Ken, to give them a direct source, the primary assessment we use in that area, as well as other areas, is called the CORE MAP, C-O-R-E, MAP, like map you would use for driving around town. And that is under training programs as well as coaching programs on the website.
Ah, there it is, the MAP, the Multidimensional Awareness Profile.
Yes, indeed.
Ooh, I like when you say CORE MAP. That's easier.
They can actually take that profile directly from the website, and when the results come in, we will contact them for the purpose of going over those results to start that whole process we were talking about, the confidence-building process.
Ah, okay. So this is a benefit that you give to people to support them and to give them an awareness upon which, if there is room to grow, that you can offer them things to support them, and you could discuss that with them. And take it, there's no charge to do this.
There is no charge to take it. We do provide a valuable service in reviewing those results, so that is a service that a client would be able to sign up for, and the taking of it is completely up to them. And is complimentary. We've had many who even said, gosh, just taking it made me think about some things I hadn't thought about for a while. And then for the additional process of coaching individually or reviewing their results in depth, which is typically a 90-minute conversation where we get pretty specific about what may be standing in someone's way, that is a service that we also provide.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, if that went past you for some reason, we're going to repeat this. You have just been offered to go to MonicaWofford.com, MonicaWofford.com, and go in and click on this CORE MAP segment, take an assessment, have that scored, and be given a complimentary 90-minute feedback or consultation on how to support yourself and what was found there, plus the ability to go further. I took a look and I was noticing a 24 time per year training that you're offering to people for, I almost fell out of my chair, for $24.77 for the entire year.
Yes, Ken, that is our online coaching program where you will be given homework assignments and insightful tips as well as ideas based on your information that will come to you on an automated basis online. So it is an incredible value. I'm glad that you pointed that out. We also provide one-on-one coaching with a CORE certified coach that over a 6 to 12 week period, whether we meet once a week over the phone or in person, or every other week over the phone or in person, you have the opportunity to truly delve into all of the CORE results that you may have gotten from your facilitation session. Then what do I do with them is often the question. Now what do I do to make things better and improve? And you can work with a coach for 6 to 12 weeks rather than just online. If you prefer that more face-to-face or over-the-phone interaction, far more personalized, far more valuable from a immediate growth standpoint, that also is available. And Ken, that is the 3500 coaching program. For those who are interested in that more face-to-face environment, that has been an invaluable solution for many.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's so you have a comprehensive approach to this. And obviously, from looking on your website, you've gotten to do some work with some Fortune 1000 companies, some big professional organizations that take all this stuff very seriously. It's not casual. And so you've been able to make those people happy. I'm certain that you can help the rest of us.
One would certainly think so, and hope so. And, you know, Ken, it's always up to the culture of the organization. Believe it or not, we have a qualification process because we guarantee our results in organizations as well as individuals. And when an organization comes to us and says, oh, you know what, can you fix all of our managers? That's the first red flag.
Just how broken are they?
That raises all the radar we own. But from that point, the questions turn into, what do you want these folks to do different, see different, say differently as a result of this training, as a result of this coaching? What is it that you feel is the heart or root of the issues that you may be having? And often it's a low morale, it's a high attrition, a high turnover, another word for attrition, or it is the manager's inability to coach the employees that work with them. It may be their inability to get along or their inability to follow directions, whatever the issue might be. We first put those clients or potential clients through a qualification process to ensure that we can resolve the problem. Because if we provide 1, 2, or 3 day customized training and the culture of that organization does not allow for those training tips, those training tools, those training processes to be included on a long-term basis, then we're unable to guarantee our work. And as we stand behind our work and stand behind our training, that is an important piece for us. We have had a couple of organizations here recently who have found such amazing results. We have designed training for their entire leadership university. We have delivered training for their call center managers. And both companies have seen in the millions of dollars of savings on revenue, savings on expenses, and savings on the bottom line, which truly delights the staff meeting led by the CEO. It makes everyone very, very happy.
Oh, yeah. That's good news.
Exactly. When you can save a company $2 to $5 million in 6 months because of the impact of your training, and when you can frankly go back in and measure that training to prove that what you've done was more than just leave everybody in a good mood when you finish the class,
not just a warm bath. People are actually integrating this into their lives and into their jobs.
Indeed. And it is about their whole lives. The premise upon which we operate is we can train you to be a leader at work. Well, that's fantastic. We can also train you how to be a leader in the rest of your life because I'm assuming you all have one. And if you don't have a life, let me stop the class and invite you to go get one because you need one.
Where did I? I've been looking for mine. Where I know I left it somewhere.
We have great fun doing what we're doing, and it's such a joy to see the light bulbs go off above the heads of the participants in our classes when we do custom training. We've worked with the U.S. Mint. We've worked with Estee Lauder. Specifically Matt Cosmetics, a division of theirs. We've also done some work with Hormel Foods. We've done some work with AT&T, just recently Singular Wireless. And truly, to leave that kind of lasting impression in an organization is what makes the fulfillment of this job complete, because it is a true gift to be able to leave that sort of lasting impact on individuals who are doing the best they can every day and simply don't have the tools they might need to get out of their own way, so to speak.
Yeah. There was a bumper sticker I saw one time that basically said that. I don't know if it's an old Zen quote or something, but get out of your own way.
Indeed.
And so there you are. This to me is so fabulous, doing an assessment so that you have an ability to chart progress and guide people in these specific ways. So I mean, when you're gathering this data, you can, of course, I guess you basically use that data to customize the training. Is that right?
That is correct. We would provide core profiles for each of the managers or employees involved in the training base, and often it's not everyone in the company. It starts with a beta test group of managers or employees. And based on the results from those individuals, of course, to compile data, we take the names off because that information is confidential to that one person and their facilitation coach.
You don't post it somewhere on the Internet?
You know, we don't. We thought about that at one time, and I'm being completely sarcastic.
Yeah, I hope so. Yes, that's true.
No.
good.
Not at all. But it is a big question because many people don't want their boss to know those results. They don't want their coworkers to know those results. So they are completely confidential. What we do in-house is remove the names, simply look at the profile data itself, and are able to assess where the skill gaps are, where the performance gaps are among the individuals in that group, and thereby coordinate and develop training that specifically meets those gaps that are in place. Therefore, we lose the risk of providing, let's say, leadership development focused on communication training for a group that's outspoken and communicates just fine. It's the listening piece they're missing, or it's the we don't like people piece that they're missing.
Yeah.
And that's a whole different curriculum, as you can well imagine.
Yeah, it's one of those, I plan on being a humanitarian, I just don't like people.
Exactly. Precisely. You've got it.
Yeah, so that's important to actually address where there's needs, and not just, this isn't just a one-size-fits-all kind of approach.
Indeed, indeed.
Now, what I'm wondering, because there's certain, you've heard the expression, many of my listeners have, this person was a born leader.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I didn't know. I've seen some babies, and I don't know where they stamp them, frankly.
In the maternity ward.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if someone didn't get stamped, or got stamped something else? Help me to know, can anyone become a leader through your training or coaching?
Yes, they can. And it does take some specific desire, skills, and practice. But as you will read, as you have read in Contagious Leadership, and as those members of your viewing audience choose to read in Contagious Leadership, I have some reasonably strong opinions about the concept of born leadership. I personally think it is a misnomer, a myth, if you will, that one has to be born into that category. And, you know, I've never seen the nurse in the maternity ward with her rubber stamp, but she may exist. There are natural behavior traits that come with certain director or commander, as we use in Corps, or red, as you see in other profiles, whatever the label might be used for that particular quadrant of personality type behaviors. There are some natural inherent traits that lead one to be a better leader. They're inherently good decision makers. They're inherently good at giving directions. But anyone in any quadrant with any personality type can be a leader. And in fact, if we would open up the corporate culture's eyes to other ones of these typesets being leaders, we might find that there's a far more people-focused leadership than what we currently have. Because what happens now is we promote, we reward, and we recognize those that we often call type A individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And type A, Ken, you may not know this, and I'll be happy to share.
Okay.
Type A is actually a label that was given in a study done out of Canada in the 1970s. This was a group of autopsies that were being studied for stress-related death.
Mm.
The ones that had all died from stress-related illnesses were labeled type A. That makes one think just a hair about whether you want to be type A or not.
I'm assuming they didn't win any contest for longevity.
No, nor did they get a promotion or anything of that sort. And unfortunately, our corporate culture in this country tends to proliferate the idea that if you're a type A person, you're a born leader, and if you're a type A person, you are what we're looking for and going to get rewarded and promoted the most. What also happens there is that your typical type A characteristics are not carried by people-focused individuals. They are task-focused individuals, masters at the art of getting through a list and checking off a dozen tasks before 10 a.m. and working the 90 hours a week until it gets done. They are not the masters of compassion, loyalty, development, working with someone side by side, rolling up their sleeves and getting in the mix and showing someone how to do it. They are more of the tell and sell variety, And there's nothing inherently wrong with that until you have an entire leadership team comprised of nothing but that. So the premise of everyone can be a leader is actually also a suggestion. Because if we put the people-focused individuals who might be less outspoken, who might be less quick to make decisions, who might be more organized and less vocal, then we would have an entire generation of leaders who value the contribution of each and every person on the team they have the privilege of leading. We might have less morale issues. We might have less attitude problems. We might have less attrition. We might have less job hopping from job to job every 22 months. So everyone can be a leader, but for many who don't have those traits inherently because of their personality, because of the way they're naturally wired, it does take a desire to be different because the immediate recognition of that leadership skill is often not present in current corporate America.
Oh, okay. So what you're finding is that more recognition of people with type A characteristics as leaders rather than some of these others? Or
absolutely. Type A leaders are far, far more common than these other types of individuals. If you were to look at a core quadrant, for example, on our profile assessment, there are commanders, organizers, relators, and entertainers, thus the acronym CORE. The commanders are task-focused, more vocal, more outspoken, as we've described. Your organizers are less such. They're also task-focused, but they're not as vocal. They're more introverted. They're far more detailed, far more organized. Your relators are people-focused, still introverted, still slightly focused on details, but very nurturing, very interested in one's growth. They're your best friends, your most loyal friends. And your entertainers are the outspoken, gregarious, sometimes class clown-ish, but often very positive and fun to be around and completely people-focused. But often the only ones that are promoted and valued in an organization are those in the commander quadrant because of their ability to make decisions quickly and get things done in record time.
Ah, okay. Well, I'm wondering, a little bit tongue-in-cheek, when we look at things like global warming as some of the downside of the Industrial Revolution, mm-hmm. where a lot was done, and yet things weren't taken into consideration about the impact that it would have on other systems on the planet.
Quite possibly.
And so I don't know if some of that would fall into more that commander or type A profile.
Indeed it would. And I have even a potentially more recent example. The incident that happened in Minneapolis just recently with the bridge collapse, I was sharing with a colleague of mine earlier that the knee-jerk type A decision, good or bad, was to immediately then examine every bridge in the country the next day. Often maybe not taking into consideration the different types of bridge construction, the different areas, the different ages of bridges, the different people that would be impacted if we shut down all 50 states' building departments to suddenly inspect bridges. It's certainly necessary for those that are warranting inspection, certainly necessary for those with a warning, but someone in a category of hierarchy and a level of authority made a very quick decision, perhaps not taking into consideration all the elements around them and all the people that would be impacted. Perhaps they did, but from an outsider's perspective watching the evening news, it looked like a very common, typical type A reaction to me.
Yeah, let's just every bridge, inspect them.
Yeah, right now, today. Let's shut down every building department and send out building inspectors. It was a decision made in a very short order. Hopefully it saved us from a couple of other bridge collapses. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Now, there's things out there, of course. I mean, different companies offering types of coaching and training, and I'm getting a sense that you do some things different. Can you give a little specifics of what it is that you do differently than other training organizations?
Sure. In our organization, the key differentiating factor is our ability to measure our results. much less guarantee those results. But there are other companies out there who do customized training, and by that I mean true customized training, not just taking the company name out of one curriculum and inserting company name here in the new curriculum. However, customized training, there are three or four companies that do that as well. Our differentiating factor is the measurability. With CORE, we can design the training based on what the skill gaps are and the performance gaps. Then 30 days, 60 days, or 90 days later, depending on the length of training and when it is implemented, we can come back into an organization at their request and provide what is called Part 3 of the CORE profile. Part 3 allows us to actually see if there has been a closure of the skill gap, an increase in one's performance in the areas we were focused on. And those results allow us to then quantify and qualify the type of training we provided, and did it meet the mark? So we have a follow-up meeting with CEOs, with executives, senior managers, including the client who may have been one of those roles, and are able to say, this is the result of our training. Here's your return on investment measurement, and here's the impact it has had on your bottom line, which is truly what many of your senior leadership individuals are looking for, much less individuals are also looking for with this tool in their own lives. Great, I had 6 weeks of coaching. I had 12 weeks of coaching. Now, how did that affect me? And we can have them also take the Part 3 again and be able to show, here's where you were 90 days ago. Here's where you are now. Now is that time for celebration. Look how far you have come.
Mm. Oh, and I take that's a built-in component to help people celebrate their progress.
Indeed, indeed. Without celebration, my gosh, we have to celebrate all the hard work, and that differs for different people. Some people like the amazing celebration, the dinner, the balloons, et cetera, and others just want a pat on the back, a high five, or a few words of thanks for all the work you're doing. Great job.
Sure. Now, when you mentioned that when these trainings are done, mm-hmm. The company can measure, management can measure a return on investment that is very attractive. They've put out some money, but they're made that back, and they're now profiting nicely.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm just kind of put myself in the position of someone working in a corporate setting, and being offered a training to improve myself. And when you were mentioning celebration, one of the things that came to my mind was, I don't know if there's any incentive programs with people that you work with where people gaining these skills, if they complete them, they are given whatever, a raise, a promotion, both,
mm-hmm.
a vacation. I'm not sure if any of that's tied into it or if that's just done on a kind of individual company basis.
It's a great question, and much like our training curriculum is customized, those incentive programs would be customized for each client, and that is at the company's discretion because they may have budgetary needs that would prohibit giving everyone who shows improvement on their Part 3, and the vast majority of people will, an immediate one-week vacation as a result. That may be cost prohibitive for them, but certainly a appreciation of some kind is appropriate, and each company does a bit of their own thing. We make recommendations as to what that might look like based on their other projects, other impending company changes, other needs, and, of course, their budgetary availability.
Mm. Ah, okay. So it takes into account the needs of both the budget of the company as well as the needs of the people that you're working with who are employed in the company.
Indeed. And to a great extent, it has to, where a lot of training companies miss the mark and where they gain a reputation for being fluffy or, as I said earlier, the reputation for providing a great mood for everyone once the class is over, but then no instruction as to what to do with that information once the class is over. Many training companies fail to take into consideration the budget, the revenue, the cost, the expenditures. There's a cost associated with training, and not just the cost of fee or payment for it, but the cost of being out of productivity. You put 20 people in a room, that means they're not being productive that day. So there's that cost. However, there's also the cost of when they come back out to the field, to the work, to the cubicle, to their lives, they're practicing new skills. So they may not be perfect at it for a day or so. So there may be a slightly slower productivity for the next few days until they become as good at the new skills as they were at the less helpful skills or less effective skills. And we take into consideration all of those items because without that, we're not truly being a partner to the company. We're operating in a vacuum. And you'll find that when you start talking about integration of the company's balance sheet, the company's expenditure and revenue statement, and looking at how can we best provide a solution that makes you look better to your shareholders, if they're public, or to your customers or to your employees, then that is truly being a partner with the organization, not just a vendor coming in to provide a service and go away.
Right. Wow. Now, I'm curious because your profile, this core C-O-R-E map that you do, the multi-dimensional awareness profile, which I want to pause to encourage my listeners to go to your website, monicawofford.com, M-O-N-I-C-A-W-O-F-F-O-R-D.com, where they can click on, now to get to that, do they go to coaching programs, where they can actually take the core?
Yes, sir. Under both training programs and coaching programs, if they look for the sub-navigation link that says Core Map, they will find access to the profile from both areas.
Okay. And in case you had just tuned in or were kind of thinking about some beautiful thing that Monica might have said, her company provides free of charge not only the ability to take this core assessment for many different life skills for building confidence, to be able to take that and then get an assessment back from her company that is an hour and a half, a full 90-minute assessment that is done on a complimentary basis because they are so confident themselves in what they provide that it's going to motivate people to want to go beyond just that assessment. And yet, for those of you that are curious, that haven't ever done something like this, here's an opportunity to not only take a profile free of charge, but get an hour and a half expert consultation. So I am just so thrilled for this offer and want to repeat that to people to emphasize that's a great, great deal.
And we want to emphasize that that's due in part to the inspiration of your own message, Ken, because we are also in the business of absolutely providing a higher quality in the lives people lead, in the way they lead their own lives, the way they lead the voices in their head, and the way they lead those they have the privilege of working with at the office.
Mm. Wow. Well put. That's beautiful. I'm wondering, people that have been in corporations or have had assessments, I know there's a number of different ones out there, Myers-Briggs, a whole bunch of them. And can you give any insight of some of the ways that your core assessment may compare to these others?
I can. And, in fact, on the website, any of your viewers can click on the first link under Core Map and find a questionnaire that addresses questions just like that. In fact, the first question, funny you should ask, is how does Core compare to Myers-Briggs, DISC, CARE, Wilson, Hogan, all of these other profiles, most of which are originally based on work from Hippocrates, then further developed by Carl Jung, some of which have some inherent inaccuracies in the information they provide. And most importantly, Ken, the difference between CORE and each of these profiles, because they all do point to much the same thing. They will put you in a quadrant. They will share with you traits of that quadrant. However, the difference with CORE is we don't seek to label you in one quadrant or another. We'll give you options. You typically are two quadrants instead of just one. Very few people live wholly in one quadrant. And the ideal and the suggestion behind CORE through facilitation is that to be well-rounded and most successful, you want development in all four quadrants. So whereas a Myers-Briggs might say you're an ESTJ or an INFP, and they'll tell you to put that tent card on your desk forever and ever, amen, That is what you are. Unfortunately, that's just not the case. You have the ability, and we encourage you to develop all four of your abilities in those quadrants, all four of your awareness levels in those quadrants, in those types, because if you are only operating in one area, then really and truly you only get along with people who are also in that area. And if you are a commander, for example, and all of your friends are commanders, and all of your relationships are commanders, and all of your children are commanders, you're fine. But if they're not, which they usually aren't,
no,
then you truly lose an opportunity here to figure out how to orient yourself. How do you communicate with a relator who is a complete polar opposite of a commander? How do you communicate with an entertainer who cares much less about tasks than people? How do you communicate in work, life, and in other areas with people who are not in the same quadrant that you are? So with CORE, we encourage development in all four areas. We also provide the original data from Carl Jung and Hippocrates, yet we also, another differentiating factor, tell you what to do with this information. So many of these profiles, not only do they say, here you are, here's what you are, forever and ever, amen, they leave you hanging with that information, and they don't tell you how to apply it to your life, how to apply it to the office, other than saying, okay, you are this, this is how you communicate, so everyone should communicate with you that way, and you should communicate with everyone else that way. We give you data on how to mold, modify, and adjust who you naturally are. We identify who you naturally are, first of all, but then we also give you, here's some homework you might consider. Here are some steps you might consider taking in order to further your development in not just your naturally gifted area, but in all the other areas that you touch on occasionally. The final differentiating factor I'll mention is that Part 3 of CORE shows, and that's the same tool we use to measure the training and skill gap, Part 3 shows how an individual functions on an average day with increasing amounts of stress, perceived or real. And in that Part 3 graph, we can literally tell you at what point do you pull out your commander traits. And then after you've used that positive commander trait, where do you go after that? Do you gravitate toward organizer traits, toward relator traits, toward entertainer traits? Are you using the positive version of those or the negative version of those? Or are you in the middle of the road? Are you ignoring your entertainer completely and failing to take care of you? And by the time you actually decide that's important, it turns into a meltdown and halfway down a cart of Haagen-Dazs. It's real. Oh, it's so real. Personalized pity ponds do exist, I promise.
Oh, I have participated, so I'm laughing at the from my own background, not at others here. It's a personal awareness laugh there.
Yes, indeed. And that's how it's different. It's unfortunate that it does sometimes get lumped into a lot of the other profiles. And in the marketing, as soon as you mention profile, people immediately assess, okay, it's just like Myers-Briggs, or it's just like that tool we use back at our office. But in truth, it is quite different. And how we use it is quite different as well.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, as you were talking, a thought was coming to my mind that said to me, and I don't know if this will make any sense to you, that people might be in conflict on the job, at home, different places, family, you name it, relating to difficulties that they have interacting with people in different quadrants. And, of course, one approach is to go into extensive therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And what was occurring to me, and wanted to check with you, is people go through this and expand who they are and gain more behavioral flexibility and understanding of others. I'm wondering if they don't actually end up being able to do away with what might have been some extensive therapy.
My immediate reaction to that is, absolutely. But please apologize for me on behalf of us to all the licensed therapists in your audience.
Ooh.
I do wish to clarify, CORE, and this happens very rarely, but occasionally we will have individuals who come to us in such a state that truly what they need, tongue-in-cheek, Ken, is a rescue from a bridge. And we are not in the business of rescuing people from that last step, going over the edge. But when given the opportunity to help someone with their behavior modification to adjust, to feel so much more awareness around who they are and what they do and why that knot in their stomach has been there for 20 years and they can't figure out why, it is such a delight and such a gift. And for us to be able to do that is an absolute pleasure. If there are many people who do come to us who say, you know, I'm so tired of doing what I do, and I don't know why I feel awful about it, and I can't seem to figure out what's wrong with me. I have this knot in my stomach, and I want to be a certain way, but I feel like I keep having to repress it. And by the time we're done with the 90-minute conversation, we come up with the fact that, you know, who you thought you were naturally quite likely isn't who you are at all. But through a series of events in your life, you have been told in one way or the other, this is not who you should be, and you've listened. And we have people that are actually very, very strong entertainers who love people and are emotional and dramatic and have a flair for color, who all their life have been put in an organizer box and are CPAs and don't know why they feel so conflicted. Well, it's called conditioning. And they're living in the land of being conditioned to do one thing when perhaps at a young age they were told, oh, don't have any emotions, don't cry, be a man. Or you are the man of the house, so take charge. So a lot of relator males are put into a commander conditioned role, and that's not who they are. So eventually that conditioning starts to erode, and their natural self will begin to cry out more and more and more for recognition. And that's what, if I were to take a candid suggestion or guess, that's what may cause some of the midlife crises. That's what may cause some of the, I'm tired of being in charge, I'm going to hop on a Harley and travel the world and not talk to anybody, because finally their natural self comes out and says, hey, look at me, this is what I want to be, and we help them through that. We walk them through that. There are varying degrees of conditioning, and there are a lot of people who come to us who say, I want to figure out who I am and where I'm going. And that's a lot of what we do.
Ah, impressive. Yeah. Impressive. Monica, I just want to pause to thank you so much, to make sure once again to give your website so people can come and take advantage of learning about what you do, and invite them to for free to take that core assessment and get that complimentary 90-minute evaluation. That's fabulous. And they go to do that to Monica Wofford, MonicaWofford.com. And this is just amazing. And, of course, there's other contact information on there of how to reach you toll-free.
Yes,
and your training team. So this is just exquisite. This is beautiful. I'm just honored to be able to get this information out to more people and to have a more in-depth view of what you do, write great books and offer a training that is, to me, so heart-based. From a businessman's standpoint, with the guarantee and the results orientation, they get to be happy. Mm-hmm. I look at it from the standpoint of a loving parent that wants nothing more than their children to be successful. And you're ensuring that with your follow-through.
Certainly helping the process, indeed.
Yeah.
One thing, Ken, to share with the women viewers in your audience and listeners, indeed, we are conducting the Contagious Confidence Conference for Women. Say that 10 times fast.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Thank you for bringing up some events that people can look at on your website.
Yes, they can. Registration opens on September the 6th, and it will be certainly an event for women to raise the bar on how they view their own life.
Wow. Get ready, women out there. This is a fabulous opportunity. I thank you so much, and just look forward to more interactions. I know I personally will be taking that profile.
I look forward to it.
And forwarding that information to some others that I think gives them an opportunity to gain a personal awareness not only for themselves, but also of a resource to really carry further in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much. I wish you a wonderful week, and all of my listeners, I invite you, of course, tune in next week when we'll have Dr. Platt in talking about a holistic MD that is doing amazing work with hormone, natural hormone replacement that is saving lives and transforming people. He's not a fan of drugs or surgery, so get ready for a fun conversation with him next week. And Monica, keep on with what you're doing.
Thank you, Ken. It has been a pleasure and a joy, and thank you for your great questions and information about CORE. I look forward to your results and talking with you further.
Well, thank you, and blessings to you and all my listeners. God bless. Have a wonderful week, and goodbye for now. Let's go.